So welcome, this is the role of immunity, and we're going to talk about what the immune system is, how it works, and things you can do to help it work better. Because as we know, that's like really important right now with all the stuff that's going on in our world. And then, like I said, we'll have a question and answer at the end. But I'm Dr. Brian Walsh, you all know me, and I'm doing this because I like to help people learn how to take care of themselves, right? Because that's really important. We cannot rely on the medical system to take care of us, as we've all seen that, because it's up to us to be responsible, right, for ourselves. And I always start out with the quote that the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease, right? Because that's where the foundations are, you know, making sure your spine works well because it controls everything, that you get to the diet because that's our foundation, and that's why we have a lot of immune system problems now. And then prevention, right? Cause and prevention, because once you got that, then you'll avoid getting sick in the first place for the most part. So when you think of the immune system, there's lots of different things that are involved, right? It's not just fighting infection, it does lots of stuff. But it's kind of many different moving parts. You know, you've got your white blood cells, which are kind of the guys that are your defenders and attackers. But with that, that's combined with your lymph system, your lymphatic system. Your spleen is part of the whole immune system. The thymus gland, which is in back of the chest, that's more active when we're younger, but it's still there and still functioning. And all these components work together to keep us healthy. And we've all heard stuff about the gut-brain axis and all that. Well, a lot of your immune system lives in your gut, too. So I believe that's part of the problem why we have so many of these immune system problems is because we have a poor food supply, and that wrecks our gut. And then our immune system doesn't have a good place to live, right? So that can be part of it. But they're like our silent defenders, right? Your immune system's in the background, always monitoring what's going on. And you can break it down to like two different parts of it. One is what they call the innate, which is what you're born with, right? It's like the basic first line defense, right? And it's what they call non-specific. So when something comes in, it does its thing with the white blood cells, and it tries to attack it and mount up this defense. And that's what you're born with. We all have that. And that's a big part of our, like I said, our first line of defense, our skin, right, is a big part of our first line of defense. We call our mucous membranes of our sinuses, our digestive tract, they have all these mucous membranes. And they're supposed to catch stuff, right, your lymph glands, before it gets into the rest of the body. Because if it can do that, it can keep you from getting really sick. And that's part of this whole thing with COVID and any bad infection is it gets beyond those defenses because your system's really not up to snuff to handle those kind of things. And we'll talk about the factors that make that harder to do its job, but it should always be ready to attack, but it's not doing that so good these days because of the factors we'll talk about. Got those. And I'll expand on this a little later, but part of that first line of defense is called secretory IgA, and it's something they can measure in your saliva and in your blood. And the better that is, the better your values, the better you can defend anything that comes in, whether it's a virus, a bacteria, a parasite, anything. And that's part of that first-line defense system. We'll talk about the factors that make that better or worse. And then the other half is called the acquired immune system, right? So that's once you get something, right, your body mounts up this defense. Hopefully it takes care of it, and you get over it in a week or so. And then you create antibodies and all these different things to it, right? So then the next time this guy comes floating along, your body goes, ah, I remember that last year. I know who you are. And it can mount up a very rapid defense to it to knock it out. So that's part of the acquired. It's like the immune system having its own memory, so to speak, right? Because it can actually remember how to defend itself much faster than the first time it happens. So, and that's one of the things with whenever you have these variations of bacteria and viruses, one of the common things that's happened in our modern society is with these bacteria that have become resistant to antibiotics, right? Because they're very intelligent and they learn how to get around the antibiotic. And when that happens, that makes it harder for your own body to defend, because you keep getting all these new strains and stuff of variations, which is the same thing that's happened with COVID, which will happen with any virus or bacteria, because they want to stick around and survive, and so they mutate. And so that's part of what they do. And part of our immune system is, okay, I saw you last time. I think I know what your name is, but if it's a variation, it might not be able to handle it as well. But usually the next time it can. So it's like this learning process that your body uses constantly to try to identify it sooner than later, preferably. Then you can mount the defense, and it's usually stronger the second time, because it's kind of got, it's got the virus MO, you know. It's like, I know where you're coming from, so we can go after you more effectively. And there's another part that the immune system, we don't think about it really being the immune system, because it gets a bad word these days, and that's inflammation in general. So inflammation is very necessary. You cannot live without inflammation. That's how your body repairs cuts and does different things to repair tissue in your body. When you have a strain or sprain, your immune system comes in there and creates a little inflammation and tries to clean it up. That's one of the primary parts of the immune system, is cleaning up messes. And then the other part is repair, right? And that's a normal process. It's just when it gets out of control and it's been there for years, that's when it becomes a problem. But inflammation in general is actually a good thing, because part of killing these viruses and bacteria and stuff is the body creates an inflammatory response to try to get this guy, you know, try to knock it out, and has its own little chemicals it produces in part of that process. But it is necessary as part of the healing process and even part of your immune system. Mentioned the acquired system. That's where you make your antibodies. And you hear these terms like killer cells, and all these things are meant to get in there and do the job quickly before it gets systemically in your body. Because when it goes systemic, that's when you start having trouble, right? And that's when people end up in ICUs. So, and the stronger that system is, then the less likely it goes systemic. But there's lots of factors that go against us for that we'll talk about in a few minutes here. So there's something when it comes to this acquired system, is that you might have heard of a term called the hygiene hypothesis. So all of us are different in our makeup and where we've lived and where we've been and what kind of food you ate, and all these things are factors that add up into how well your immune system works. Well, they found that the more that you're exposed to stuff, like someone that grows up on a farm versus someone that grows up in a city environment that might be very more sterile related, that the person that grows up in the farm, or where they're exposed to many different kinds of pollens and bacteria and viruses and all these things just living life, they tend to have more robust immune systems in the long term. And it usually works better when you're young, right? When you get exposed to these things young, you tend to be more able to handle them when you're older. So this whole thing with having sanitary wipes and wiping every surface and killing every germ in sight may not be the best thing for our immune system to learn how to fight off and take care of itself, especially with little kids, because they need to be exposed to these things so their immune system learns how to handle it. So they've actually shown that there's a correlation between too much cleanliness and a good amount where you just get exposed to stuff and your body learns how to take care of it. Because long-term, it makes you stronger immune system. So that's more on the defending side. The other side to the immune system, which we see a lot more of, and I have a separate talk on, is the autoimmune problems, right? And those are issues where typically the immune system is over-responding, and instead of attacking viruses and things, it starts attacking your body. Like in rheumatoid arthritis, it's your joints or muscles. There's certain types of diabetes that attacks the pancreas, lupus, where it can go for the kidneys and different things, autoimmune thyroid. So those are things where something has gone out of balance and now the immune system is basically turning on you. And most of the time that's coming from the person having too many toxins in their body, a really, really bad diet that contributes to inflammation in their body. Stress can be the final like nail in the coffin that pushes somebody over the edge where they have a loss of a loved one or something, or they have a traumatic accident can trigger these things sometimes. So they had all these other variables and then something pushed them over the edge and now they go into this autoimmune condition. And unfortunately, medically, they just suppress it, right? And that's not the best thing. You have to find out the why part, which is usually the toxins and diet and stress and all those type of things. So that's more when it's gotten overactive. I believe more people have an immune system that's not robust enough, you know, where it knows how to do its job. And there are, when they look at the different factors, like an environment I mentioned with the hygiene thing and genetics and all that, they really believe that our environment is more 80% or more of the whole immune system and only like 20% genetics. So you could have some possible defect or something in the family that makes you more susceptible to these things. But most of it is environment, what you've grown up with, what you've eaten, and how you've lived. So we just can't blame everything on genetics, in other words, which I think the medical doctors do a little too much of. So here are some of the big things that really contribute a lot to whether you have strong or weak immune systems. You would think it's a no-brainer, but smoking is still an issue for weakening your body, right? And like 50, 60 years ago, they didn't have a real good excuse to say much about that, but we've had lots of studies and lots of lung cancers and stuff to show us that smoking is just not a good thing for your body. Exercise, of course, doing it helps, and not exercising actually takes away from how robust your immune system is. They have found that the weight is a big factor for our overall immune response. So they've studied so far with these COVID cases, and this is from the CDC. From the time it began until the latest statistic I had was March of this year, 78% of all COVID hospitalizations, people were overweight or obese. 78%, that's huge. And the more overweight you are, the sicker you get, and the more likely you will die from COVID. So that's one factor that is very controllable, right, with our diet and exercise and different things. So that is a real biggie. They don't talk about that a lot in the news, but that's right from the CDC. 78% of hospitalizations from COVID and or the deaths are people are overweight or obese. So that's a big one we can get our hands around and do something about. I mentioned toxins being a big part of this, right? We're exposed to all thousands and thousands of chemicals every year. If you have mercury fillings in your mouth, that can be a problem. If you work at a job where you're exposed to different chemicals and manufacturing plants, these things can all weaken the immune response and make it so you can't knock this stuff out like you should. Sleep is a really biggie. They've shown that your immune system is not as strong when you get less than 7 hours sleep a night consistently. So that's another area where we can try to hunker down and fix that. I mentioned stress. That first line defense, that secretory IgA that I mentioned that they can measure, which is your first immune response. The higher your stress, the lower that IgA is, the secretory IgA. So what that means is if you're really, really stressed a lot and you get exposed to a virus, you are more likely to get it had you not been under so much stress because your defenses are not as high as they would normally be. So, and I think that's becoming a huge thing in the past 20 years. And of course, this past year, it's off the charts, right? Because people are so stressed out from all the COVID stuff going on. And then one that I call, this is like an American syndrome, overfed and undernourished, right? We do not lack of enough calories in our diet, right? Some countries, they just don't get enough food, right? But we are what I call overfed and undernourished, meaning we have plenty of calories but not enough nutrients in those calories. Because I've done lots of work with helping people eat, like from going from a junk food diet to a whole food or a real food diet. And I believe some of these cravings that people have and stuff is really the body's wanting to get more in, thinking it's going to get more nutrients because they're eating food that's devoid of nutrients. And you need your vitamin A, your vitamin C, D, your B vitamins, all these things. B12 is big for your immune system. you need all of those things to fight off infections too. So a lot of times when you transition somebody from a junk food diet to a whole food diet, their cravings go away because they're actually getting nutrients and their body's being fed and it's going, oh, okay, I'm getting what I need. I don't have to constantly tell you to eat something because you're eating all this junk food because there's no nutrition in that junk food that I need. You know, it's this really weird syndrome the body gets into. But it's really powerful to see how quick people will change. They'll stop craving stuff because their body's happy again. So I mentioned the stress goes up, the secretory IgA goes down, and that's a huge one. So the things we can do is, I think everyone should do some form of detoxification at some point, especially the older we are, because we have lots of stuff we accumulate over the years. Some people more than others, depending on their genetics. So getting all the junk out of our bodies and then out of our houses, right? Because we don't realize all the cleaners and the detergents and the stuff we put on our hair and our skin. Many of these things are very bad for your immune system and your hormonal system of your body. So getting that out of the house and out of your body a lot of times will automatically start making your immune system stronger. And there's so many natural products you can get nowadays that still work. They're good cleaners. I mean, just something as simple as vinegar and water is like a really good cleaner. It's amazing. And it has antibacterial and antiviral properties to it, too. So all these fragrances and all these things, they have known problems with causing respiratory problems and many different things. Something I am very against is putting these air freshener things that you plug into the wall and they spit this stuff out periodically. Very bad for your lungs, like really bad for your lungs and sinuses. So fragrance is just a no-no. I just tell people to start using fragrance-free everything. You'll get used to it over time. Everything doesn't have to smell like Febreze. You know, it's not the aphrodisiac, you know, that they like make it look like on TV. It's like really crazy. But getting those kind of things out of the system so you're not putting junk in really helps your body function a lot better. The other thing that's helpful is when it comes to our house is either a whole house filter to filter the chlorine and the junk that comes in, because you don't realize taking a shower how much chemicals you're breathing when you take a shower. I mean, it's a lot. And drinking it too, you know, a water filter, a carbon water filter as a minimum for your drinking. And if you can't afford a whole house system, then you just get a shower. They make these great shower filters, we carry them here, that you can just screw on and it filters out like 95% of the chlorine. And the first thing people notice is their hair and skin just get so much better. The dryness and the stuff just starts going away without the chlorine being pelted all over you. So get rid of the bad stuff, as much of the junk food out as possible, because sugar is a known weakener to your immune system. There's no doubt. They've shown that if you say, for example, like a candy bar and a soda, if you have that for the next 2 hours, your immune system is depressed like 50% because your white blood cells are not as active for the next couple hours because of all that sugar. So that's another way you can fend off this bugs and stuff, is to always have minimal sugar intake and have natural stuff like fruit instead. And then making sure you're getting enough of the good nutrients, right? I mentioned, you know, the vitamin A, C, D, K, the B vitamins, very important, and minerals like selenium that your thyroid uses, and zinc. These are all things that protect us. And one of the reasons I think that we are sick is because we just don't eat enough of those anymore in our normal food, you know. And there's good versions of those that you can get to help bolster up your system if you're low in them. But if you don't have the ammunition to fight, then your soldiers can't fight, you know. And the soldiers are the white blood cells, and the ammunition is nutrients and then cleaning up your body so it functions better. You know, once you start doing that, and the other very important part is the stress factor, right? Get that stress down to normal levels. Exercise is a great way to lower your stress hormones, and it actually kind of bumps up your immune system in the process. So those are all like the factors that once you wrap them together, then you'll be ready to fight stuff, right? Your immune system will know how to do its job and be ready to do your job. And then you'll be able to fend off these things that come our way, like viruses and bacteria and all this stuff. I think that's kind of what I had. Is there any questions so far?
Yeah, I do. About swimming pools.
Yeah.
You know, that are chlorine. That's like soaking in bleach, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Swimming pools, especially public swimming pools, because they usually put more chlorine to keep them from getting contaminated. I mean, swimming is such a great exercise, but the pools on a regular basis are just not that great. I mean, if you have your own pool and they've got those salt systems that are much better, you know, then that's what I would do. Or the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite's the ocean, but not everyone can bop over to the ocean. Yeah, I know, a lot of people still.
Critters,
yeah.
How about when you said fruit, does dried fruit count?
It does. There are some things you lose with the dried fruit, with some of the enzyme activity. But preferably organic, you know, just because most fruits have a lot of pesticides on them.
Sure.
You know, that's
One of the things I've been doing lately, because my stomach was doing big issues, is eating a lot of cabbage.
Yeah, cabbage can be very healing for the digestive tract. And some people juice it, actually. It's kind of strong. Yeah, it's kind of strong, but there's a certain phytochemical in there that's known to heal the GI tract. Yeah.
Yeah, I was told that if you use, sourcrout?
Yes, yeah, the fermented. Mm-hmm.
Fermented,
yes. That's your natural probiotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, they didn't have probiotics 100 years ago. They just had sauerkraut and kimchi and these fermented vegetables that were part of their routine.
Sourdough bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can tell you, as far as the chemicals for your spa and your pool, Dr. Walsh has muscle tested me and told me that I had bromine, whatever, and some of those things when I was spending too much time in the hot tub.
Really?
She reminds me, we have one for sale if anybody wants it. We don't use it anymore. Really cheap.
Really? Just followed away. Yeah.
Question? Questions? More questions? You guys are too easy.
Can you explain again? You were talking about the. You said secondary, or you had a special name for it. The SIGA? SIGA?
Yeah, the secretary. A secretary. Just keep on one.
Secretory.
Yeah, like secretary, but secretory. It means it's secreted from these mucous membranes. Yeah. Secretory IgA.
What is it?
It's an immunoglobulin A. There's several of these in our bodies. But the immunoglobulin A is the one that is most our first line of defense. That's the one that's supposed to stop it from going into the rest of our body.
And are there certain foods or things that increase the immunoglobulin A?
I can't think of that specifically. It's more the things we shouldn't do, like avoid the stress and the junk food and the sugar. Those are the things that suppress it. So by eating a whole food diet and practicing stress management and exercising, those actually normalize or increase it to make it better.
Do they have a huge bubble that you can protect from stress?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yes, the biggest way to prevent stress is to keep it from getting out of control in your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's where it starts.
I do it with music from church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I use praise music all the time to combat my stress. That's my favorite way.
It's fine.
I used to sit in the hot tub until that was bad for me.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, I was also told that if a person doesn't perspire, it's not good. You should allow yourself to.
It's good to perspire. They've actually shown that people that do like a sauna, they can measure the toxins coming out of their sweat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it's a very effective way to get rid of stuff out of your body.
And of course, hydrate.
Correct. Yeah, you still got to hydrate. You know, with minerals and stuff.
But how about hydrating with? I don't have a water filter. You know, I mean, a good one. I have the one on the shower that I bought.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what's a good one that you can, I have a tiny little place that I can put and it's effective?
So the easiest thing, I think, because you can take it anywhere, and it doesn't require power, is just a countertop Berkey water filter.
This one?
No, that's different.
That's for
shower. It's just what they call gravity feed, and it's got these super duper carbon type filters in there. These were originally developed for third world countries. So you could take river water and pour it through this thing, and you could drink it and not worry about viruses and parasites. That's how powerful it is. You just get it online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Berkey, Berkey. But they are very effective. And they don't take out the good minerals, just the bad stuff.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're very...
We've got the pure filter, and I think it takes out everything.
Okay.
And then we just have a nanoparticle mineral concentrate.
Yeah, that might be... Is that a reverse osmosis? Is that what that is?
It's not.
Okay, all right. So,
reverse osmosis is more expensive. It's a countertop model.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just like the countertop ones that don't require energy, you know, because in a hurricane, you don't need to worry about it. You still got it.
Something about that filter. Years ago, I stayed with a lady whose husband was a chiropractor, and he was real into all this stuff. And she told me that in their shower, if you take a hot shower like people do, and it doesn't have the filter on it, it's like asphyxiating yourself with a gas.
Yes, you get a lot of the, especially depending on where you live.
That's when
Melbourne's horrible. I mean, Melbourne is just the worst. Melbourne and West Melbourne tend to be really high with their chlorine stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there was another kind of countertop filter that I think we talked with you about once that puts minerals in your water? What kind is that?
Yeah, they have these different systems that they do that. If it's the really ones that take everything out, and then they run it through this other system that's a post-filter system that adds the minerals back. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just not take it all out.
Right.
I mean, the other answer is to use mineral drops or something like that to put back in, but I'd rather just use the Berkey and you don't have to worry about it. I mean, most of your minerals you get from food. You really do. It's really a minor amount of minerals you get from water. But if you eat good food. But so it's not critical that you put the minerals back in. But that's why I like the Berkey. I mean, I've just decided it's fairly reasonably priced. And the way it's designed, you can take the top off and flip it over and put it in on the inside, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. It's not that big, you know.
Because I thought the ones I'd seen are probably about yay tall.
Yeah.
And I like the pure one is more manageable for me on our counter with a smaller kitchen space.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Berkey was, you know, you could do the river water kind of thing. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah. That's how it was designed originally. For third world countries. Mm-hmm.
Is it true that if you can't afford organic on everything, if you soak it in vinegar?
Some of the soaking helps some. It's just not like for the fruit, like the berries or the fruit that has a soft skin. You know, it's already in the meat of the fruit, you know, so it's not as good.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're aware of the Dirty Dozen, right? Environmental Work Group, EWG. They've got a list of, it's called the Dirty Dozen. It's the most highly pesticide fruits and vegetables.
Really?
So I tell people to get those organic. It's mostly berries, fruit, lettuce, celery,
bell peppers,
really super high. So I always get those organic, always.
Okay.
And other things like an avocado, I don't care about that because it's hardly any pesticides on it. I don't care if that's organic, you know what I mean? So that's where I always put my organic dollars toward the Dirty Dozen list, and because I eat a lot of those, like all the time. So it keeps you safer that way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, toothpaste is a good one.
Yeah, because that's fluoride, right? It's got the fluoride in.